This then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one.
Well, this morning we read just a small part of that most famous teaching of Jesus, known as the Sermon on the Mount, where Jesus reveals to his disciples what attitudes, what countercultural attitudes and actions should characterize the followers of Jesus Christ. Attitudes such as poverty of spirit, recognizing their spiritual poverty and dependence upon God. Being meek and humble of heart, hungering and thirsting for righteousness, being merciful, being pure in heart, being peacemakers, or actions such as radical righteousness, radical forgiveness, radical love and giving and generosity and peace and perseverance. And the reason in this teaching that Christ's followers should be identified by such attitudes and actions is because this is what their Heavenly Father is like. And this is what catches his eye. And this is the kind of living and attitudes that give him pleasure. And this is the kind of attitudes and actions that will receive his great reward in a coming day. According to Jesus, the supreme goal in a Christian's life is to resemble their Heavenly Father, to give him pleasure, to bring glory to him. And if we want to know what that looks like, then we look at the Son, do we? God's Son, Jesus Christ. He perfectly resembled him, gave him pleasure, and gave the Father glory. And he goes on in this teaching. He reveals to us why we should have that supreme goal in our lives. And that's expressed in that prayer that we read this morning. The prayer that he taught his disciples to pray, called the Lord's Prayer. We're going to reflect on that this morning. Here's a picture of Jesus gathering with his disciples. And here they were on this mount, and they were listening to the greatest words that mankind can ever hear, the words of God. And he reveals to them how we should approach God. And the first thing he tells us is that we should have this supreme desire to resemble our Heavenly Father, give him pleasure, give glory to him because of the greatness of our Heavenly Father's name. Hallowed, holy is his name. In the Bible, a name someone was given revealed something about their character or about the purpose that God would enable them to fulfill. So Abraham means father of nations. And God enabled him to fulfill that destiny. Peter means rock. And though being far from a rock in his nature, God enabled him to be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Name with reference to God is all God has revealed himself to be in his being, in his character, and in his working, which is hallowed, which is holy, which is set apart, distinct, a cut above every other so-called God, every other created being, be they angels in heaven or the human or human beings on the earth. God has revealed himself to be in being the only God. That was reflected in that psalm that Dominic read to us. He's one God, revealed in three persons. God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. In nature, God is self-existent, eternal, all-knowing, all-powerful, everywhere present. God is the perfection of goodness, of righteousness, of love. In working, God is the creator and the sustainer of all things. He's the rightful ruler of all things. And because his creation have turned away from him and corrupted their natures, God will one day be the judge of the world. However, the wonderful good news of the Bible is that God is the Savior of the world through his Son, Jesus Christ. God in being, God in nature, God in working is set apart from everyone, from everything else. And God the Father in the Bible is revealed to be the grand architect, the grand designer, the source of all God's working through his Son and by his Spirit. God is the Father, is the author of creation. He's the author of salvation. He's the author of scriptural revelation. He's the author of every good and perfect gift. So you're being physically alive today. You're being spiritually alive to God through repentance of sin and faith in Christ. You're being adopted as one of his children is because of God the Father, because of the greatness of who he is. Ephesians 1, praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ Jesus. So if you are a believer, if you are a saved child of God, how you should praise your Heavenly Father, his being, his nature, his working, and how you should want to give him pleasure and bring him glory in your life. The second reason from the Lord's Prayer why you should want to praise and bring pleasure and glory to your Heavenly Father is because his glorious kingdom is coming. Your kingdom come. Jesus reveals that to us in his teaching. He tells us that one day soon, according to the Heavenly Father's timetable, God's kingdom, God's perfect, righteous, good, loving, peaceful, joyful kingdom is going to come in all its fullness and perfection and glory. When God's kingdom comes, all sin, all unrighteousness, all evil will receive its fitting and final judgment. It's bad news for this world that we're living in, for sinful mankind, for Satan, the God of this world. And when Christ comes, when God's kingdom comes in all its fullness, this decaying world will be changed. It will be perfectly made new. It will shine with God's glory. And so will God's children. We will be perfectly changed into Christ's likeness. We will rule and reign with God forever. And believers knowing these things should long for the coming of their Heavenly Father's kingdom and pray to our Heavenly Father that his kingdom would come soon, and that we would live our lives in the light of his soon coming. And that's what we're going to be looking at for the next few weeks. So the second reason that we should want to praise and bring pleasure and glory to our Heavenly Father is because his glorious kingdom is coming. A third reason is because our Heavenly Father's perfect will be done on this earth as it is in heaven. In heaven, everyone all the time carries out the will of God the Father. On earth, where mankind are alienated from God, have nature set on doing their will, barring an intervention from God, the will of man, the will of the counterfeit father, Satan, the god of this world, would be done all the time. And if that was the case, praise God for his interventions. What a disaster that would be if mankind had his will all the time and Satan had his will, his way all the time in this world. However, because of the greatness and the glory of who God our Father is, his being, his nature, his character, his working, all he has purposed in salvation and in judgment will come to pass. Proverbs 16, verse 4. The Lord works out everything to its proper end, even the wicked for the day of disaster. Isaiah 46. I am God, and there is none like me, declaring the end from the beginning and from ancient times, things not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand, and I will accomplish all my purpose. All my purpose will be accomplished. Well, knowing our Heavenly Father's will be done, we should seek first his will in our lives. And how perfectly we see that modeled to us in God's Son, Jesus Christ. Words of him: I have come to do the will of him who sent me and to finish the work that he gave me to do. And how perfectly he did that. And he's a model to us of how God's children should seek the will of their Heavenly Father. There are further reasons in this prayer why God the Father's sons and daughters should seek to praise and please and glorify the Father. Because of the faithful generosity of our Heavenly Father's provision, inviting us to ask him each day for our daily bread, to trust him each day to provide for our everyday needs, be it food, be it clothing, be it a roof over our heads, be it strength for today, be it companionship, whatever. And Matthew assures us, Matthew 6, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all these things, all these everyday needs that we have will be added unto you. What a promise that is to us. We can bring all of our every needs to our Heavenly Father and ask him to provide. For most or all of us, we're in a position to provide for our everyday needs through our employment earnings or pension or through the NHS. We're richly blessed compared to believers in poorer countries. If that's the case, all the more should we thank our Heavenly Father for his generosity to us, knowing that every good and perfect gift is from above. God is their ultimate source. However, as we've seen in our pandemic, Our circumstances can change very quickly due to an economic recession, loss of health, loss of employment, loss of loved ones. We can find ourselves struggling to meet our everyday needs. We've seen that in the food hump. People who have all of a sudden, they're out of work. They were doing really well, had a job and had more than enough to meet their needs. And now their circumstances have changed. They're in debt, many of them, and they're coming along to a food hub. We can quickly find ourselves needs. In such times, we can depend all the more on our Heavenly Father to meet our needs. Give us today our daily bread. How often do we pray that prayer? Give us today, because the shelves are full. We've got so much. Our houses are bursting full. And yet we can be poor in so many ways. Poor in the spiritual ways. But in this unchanging world, our circumstances can change, and we can find things downward spiraling in our lives. And that can be the experience of believers as well. And sometimes God can allow that to happen because He wants us to rely on Him to be the foundation of our lives in a greater way, and to trust in Him and to experience His provision from His hand as we are dependent in a greater way unto Him. When our hands are empty, and to receive and experience His provision in a greater way. How faithfully, generously God provides. How we should praise Him. There are further reasons why God the Father, sons and daughters should seek and praise and glorify the Father because of the greatness of our Heavenly Father's forgiveness. Our material and physical needs are important to our Heavenly Father. However, the Lord's Prayer directs greater attention to our spiritual needs. Forgive us our debts, our sins. Lead us not into temptation. Deliver us from the evil one. That indicates to us that our spiritual needs are even more important than our physical and material needs. For the reason that sin and Satan are our greatest enemies as human beings. They separate us from the Father, from knowing Him and His blessing upon our lives, eternal blessing. And it spoils our lives. We need to be reconciled to the Father. That's our greatest need as human beings. Why does the Lord's Prayer say, forgive us our debts instead of sins? To highlight to us that sin, it robs God of what is rightfully His. As our great and glorious Creator, God deserves our highest and our best worship and honor and obedience. To fail to give Him that and to go further and deny His existence is to commit a sin of incalculable wickedness. It's to incur the greatest debt imaginable, a debt that we can never pay. But the wonderful story of the gospel is that Jesus Christ, the righteous one, who perfectly honored and obeyed the Father, He paid our debt that we can never pay. He paid our debt of sin through His death on the cross. How truly amazing that He did that. We owe Him an infinite debt of gratitude, of love and worship and obedience. And having been forgiven, a debt of the greatest possible magnitude, sinning against God, we should be willing to forgive the sins and debts of a minuscule magnitude in comparison from our fellow man. And in that prayer, it reveals to us, if as believers we're unwilling to do that, well, there is a question mark as to whether we have experienced God's lavish forgiveness in our lives. For the reason that a gracious, merciful disposition towards others who have sinned against us is an evidence that God has forgiven us. God's greatly forgiven children should be marked by radical forgiveness. Is that true of us? Are we marked by radical forgiveness? If it is, then we resemble our Father. We give pleasure and glory to our Father. And then the final reason why God the Father, sons and daughters should seek to praise and please and glorify the Father. Because our Heavenly Father rescues us from temptation, rescues us from the evil one. Sinning is far more than forgiveness. It requires being delivered from the temptation which so often leads to sin. The Bible reveals that Satan is the tempter. It was he who tempted Adam and Eve to sin against God. And he can do the same with us. 1 Peter tells us to be alert and of sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. James 1 tells us that God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he tempt anyone to evil. Each person is tempted when they're dragged away by their own evil desire and enticed. Then after desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. We are tempted to sin by Satan working through our own sinful desires. However, Scripture tells us, 1 Corinthians, that no temptation has overtaken us except what is common to mankind. And God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, he will provide a way out so that you can endure it. What wonderful words to us. God, our Heavenly Father, is able to do that as he is able to forgive our debts, to provide for our daily bread. God is able. He's able to lead us not into temptation. He's able to lead us out of temptation, to provide a way of escape, a way of enduring underneath that. He's able to do that because his is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. He's the great king. He's the sovereign ruler over all the earth. And because God is omnipotent, he's unlimited in power. And because God glorifies himself by keeping his word. Having given his children this prayer to pray to him, he will glorify himself in meeting the needs of his people. Material needs, physical needs, spiritual needs, because he's our loving Heavenly Father. He's good. He gives his children good gifts. And if we ask for bread, he won't give us a stone. And if we earthly fathers know how to give good gifts to our children, he knows. He's a far greater Father. He knows, he loves, he cares. It's underlined in this Sermon on the Mount teaching. He knows, he knows, he loves, he loves, he cares, he can provide. And he wants us to hold on to him in this simple prayer pattern, model that is given to us. And he wants us above all to seek his praise with our eye supremely on him in our lives, and to seek his pleasure, and to do his will, and to seek his coming kingdom, and to trust in him in all the ways that we need him, in all the temptations that we have to face. How worthy is God of our praise and our worship and our honor and the glory. Well, let's continue to do that in our lives, and all the more as we get to know him more, that we will know him, love him, and glorify him in a greater way.